Kerbos, I hope all is good. Today's daf is Yevamos daf Samach Aleph Gutvach, and we're here on Samach Aleph Beis, about 10-12 lines up. I'm Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. I'm Rabbi Shuvan Levi. Right, we got left off a little bit early yesterday, so let's get to it. I'm Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. I'm Rabbi Shuvan Levi. Halach Rabbi Shuvan Ben Bar Yochai. Right, again, if you remember, where we said that a kohen is allowed to marry, he said that a kohen is allowed to marry a giores that's pchusim mishal hashanim, that's less than 3 years old. Right, again, you know, because you know, pursue them, go back, and she's not going to have, she's not able to have bias. We pashed this. We assume that she has not become puzzled to him beforehand. So I'm going to lay Rabbi Zera, the Rabbi Yaakov Braidi, Befer Shmielcha or Mechlala Shmielcha. How'd you learn this from Bishop and Levi? Like, very often they'll hear the Tanaim, the Amoraim, they'll hear something straight from the horse's mouth, as the phrase goes. Sometimes they'll infer it from some sort of story or some sort of you know, Maisa. Or some sort of other type of ruling. So Amar Leih, So my Mechlala. So what is the from the Mechlala? What's the potential story or the halacha that it was inferred from? Amar Rabbi Shuvan Levi, because Rabbi Shuvan Levi said that Ir Achas Haisav Eretz Yisrael Shekar Allah Arar. There's a town in Eretz Yisrael that again they went out to check out exactly what's going on with the Yichus over there. Vishigur Rabbi as Rabbi Romanos, and Rabbi sent Rabbi Romanos, Ubadga Umatza ba Baskioras Pchuzmi Vashal Shalom Yom Echad. Again, they found again that one of the, I guess, the women was her father had been married to, her father was a Kohen, and his her mother, right, had been become. Had been a convert, had been a Gioras when she was less than 3 years old. And Rabbi said, you know what, that woman, right, that their parents found out, that he found out about her parents, that their father was a Kohen and their mother was a Gioras, Pechusim, Vash Shalosh Shalim, and he said that she was able to marry a Kohen, meaning that she was not a Psul, not a Chalo. So that implication was, right, apparently that a Kohen is allowed, right, that's a proper union, and that's fine. Right, that the Kohen is allowed to marry a Gioras that's less than 3 years old. So Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, meaning that was the implication. Meaning when he asked the Shaila, when Rabbi Zera asked Rabbi Yaakov, right, the Shaila was, right, did you learn it from him or did you hear it from, did you assume that that's the halacha from the story? What story was he referencing? It was that story. But Amar Lei said back to him that Beferish Shmilei. And I heard it straight from his mouth, meaning that he had actually heard the halacha from him, even though we had that story as well. So the Gemara says, "Well, v'imichol amai." Well, what was the problem with the story? Right? The implication being, if he said, you know, if we have both the story and the statement, right, the pashas is there'd be something that you could ask against the story. Meaning that the whole lead up, right, is that, you know, if someone gives you a statement and someone else says, "Well, did you hear that exactly, or are you assuming that's what he holds?" The implication is when someone asks you that question that if you're going to say, "I'm assuming that's what he holds," right, basically someone's going to ask a follow-up kasha. So that's what the Gemara says. Meaning the follow-up kasha on that story that he said with the town, they weren't sure of the yichus, they went to check, they saw the Kohen married a Gioras less than 3 years old, he allowed them to get remarried. So Dilma Shani also, maybe that was different. Why? Because whole insav. Because maybe he had got, what's the story? The Kohen had married this Gioras many, many years ago, and now they had a kid. The Rav Rabbi Yochanan Davar Tavayo Bogeres Mukasei Tzol Yisav Im Nasa Nasi. Right, we had in our Mishnah that's not Rav Rabbi Yochanan, but if a Kohen marries, raises a Kohen Gadol. If Kohen Gadol marries a Bogeres or Mukasei Tzol, right, he shouldn't, but they are allowed to stay married. So maybe that story doesn't prove anything. So Gemara says, "Wow, Hachi Hashta, that's not comparable because she's Bishlam Mahasim Sofi Los Bogeres Tachtov Sofi Los Bula Tachtov." Right, doesn't that, the case of the Kohen Gadol, the reason he's allowed to stay married to a Bogeres Mukazeitz, because eventually she will become a Bogeres and a Mukazeitz, right, while they're married, right, eventually, right, even if he marries her when she's a Nara, eventually she'll become a Bula, eventually she'll become a Bogeres, okay, fine, so let them stay married. But Hacha, but here, Sofali, or something Taktav, what, if the Bia is inappropriate, what, is she inevitably going to end up being a Zona and become Pasul Lakuna? Right, the whole concept of Gioras becoming puzzle is because we assume that goyim are promiscuous and she tachlis that she is a zona, she had inappropriate bia. But here, if they get married, right, she's never going to end up being a zona to him. Either she's a zona or not. It doesn't happen, right? Mitzvah Shem, she'll stay faithful and everything will work out and they'll be fine. So that's not necessarily the same case. So that's tachlis That's against the kasha. I mean, that says that the kasha against the story is not a good kasha. So tachlis, he could have actually implied and assumed from the story that that was his halacha. Rav Safna masni le miklala. Rav Safna actually said that no, that the response was that he assumed it from the story. The kasha le right mishane le hacha. And sure enough, he had the back and forth, and he had this type of shakla vitaria, right? And that's how he answered the stira, or really the kasha from the story, right? And then everything checks out. And sure enough, right, again, like we said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that like in the name of Rabbi Shimon Levi, that this is allowed, that a kohen is allowed to marry a gioris who converted less than 3 years old. I'm related to Nachum by Yitzchak. My high, he said, nah, I don't like that. Why'd you do that? He said, what do you mean? We have this halacha. So Amalei said to him, nah, zil ofik. No, get rid of her, divorce her, vilom of kinalei, loch. Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi Munach, right, and if not, right, I'll make sure. Meaning, I'll put you in chayrim, right, make sure that we know that we don't actually paskin like this this Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi and Rishim bar Yochai. Tanya will underbrisa v'chenayi Rishim bar Yochai Omer kivrei ove chochavim inon metamin ba'ohel. Another halacha of Rishim bar Yochai, right? Well, we're leading up to like Lagbomer over here, right? So he says that the kivrei of the chochavim, right? If you remember, we did in which masechta? No, I'm blanking. Was it Pesachim? I don't remember. Okay, either way, we talked about already in the stuff in the cycle about tumas ohel. We had a bit of tumas ohel that basically there's a concept that if there's an ohel, if there's some sort of roof over a dead body, for example, so that will, the tumah will go up to the roof, and that's why when a person walks into, let's say, not a base of aval, but a place where they have a eulogy, I'm blanking on the word in Hebrew, when a person, there's a eulogy, and there's a mace there, and right again, so everybody's going to have to, is tachlis, is tummy mace. So Sarah Shimon Yochai says that doesn't apply to goyim. Right, when you have a kever of a guy, right, that is, there's no concept of ohel, tumas ohel, by goy. And how does he know? So the pasuk, right? Pasuk says, "Ve'etin tzonit tzon marisi adam atem." Right, adam atem, meaning that you, Bnei Yisrael, are adam. Atem kareem adam. In ov de kochavim kareem adam. Only Jews are called adam. So what the Gemara doesn't imply, what the Gemara doesn't say is how that helps. Well, if the Torah calls a Jew an Adam and a guy doesn't call Adam, so what's the difference? So the important point here is that the pasuk that talks about Tumas Ohel, it says Adam ki yamus ba Ohel. If a person dies in an Ohel, so okay, anything that is called Adam is shayach to the Tumah of an Ohel. Right, and the thing is not called Adam is not. So Gemara says, one second, Meisvei, V'nevesh Adam Shisha Asar Elef. One second, the pasuk does refer to Goyim as Adam. How do you know? Because in the war of Midian, Bnei Yisrael killed all these Midianim, so they called 16,000 Adam. Nefesh Adam. So Gemara says, yeah, Mishum Behema, because that was comparing them to the animals. The Torah had just listed off how many animals they had killed, so they also listed the people. So, okay, so compared to people, they're nefesh adam, but they're not actually called adam. Okay, but what about the following pasuk? Hashem yesh bar harbe mishtem esrei ribo 120,000. Sorry, ribo is 10,000. So 10,000 is 120,000. Adam hashem lo yudah ben yimino l'smalo ubeimar rabba. And that's already the pasuk in Yonah. But we're talking about Nineveh. So again, also mishtem behima again, because you have the animals mentioned. You have Adam mentioned as well, but it's not that actually Adam. Gemara says okay, but also the pasuk says not that they call him Adam, but call horig nefesh v'chol anugya v'chalav tischato. The pasuk says that's also the pasuk by the melchama by Midian. Moshe said anybody came back from the melchama has to go undergo tischato. Means not that they sinned, but that they have to undergo a purifying process. So Pasha says they were tamei. Right, they just fought a war with Midianim. So the Gemara says, "Dilma iktil chad miYisrael." Okay, maybe one of the Jews died, so they touched them. So the Gemara says, maybe 1 second. We'll get to the question. Right here for Rabbanan, I and the Rabbanan who hold that they are tamei. Right, what do they do with that pasuk? Right, lo nifka mimenu ish. Well, the pasuk, if you remember, right, the pasuk continues, and that the officers come to Moshe and they say, "Listen, we didn't lose anybody. So we want to bring a korban. We want to bring an offering, right, or a gift to the Beis Hamikdash, to the Mishkan, right, to Shilkosh Baruch Hu." That we have a curse that's up. So clearly, right, none of the Jews had died. So clearly, so that's why the Rabban hold Right, they don't hold that. Maybe that maybe they killed one Jew. I have Reb Shimon Yochai. So what does he do with that? That's obviously pretty good proof, right? That that no Jews died. It must be that it became Talmud through touching the Goyim. So the Gemara says, yeah, lo nifkad minu ish b'aveira. It doesn't mean that nobody died, but nobody has sinned. Maybe that didn't. But it could be that somebody died. Ravina Amar. Ravina says, and this is what I would have said right away. But okay, I mean, I'm not, you know, fine. Ravina Amar. Ravina says, "Nihid me'atinu kram me'atinu." But oh well, he says no. He doesn't say that they weren't tame ohel. How do you know? What do you mean? They were tame, and therefore, meaning you're using this pasuk to teach me that goyim aren't tame ohel. Because the Jews came back from war with Goyim, and therefore they had to purify themselves, they become Tamei. What do you mean? You don't think that they touched anybody they killed? Right, this isn't, they're not using tanks and missiles. This is a hand-to-hand combat. Of course they touched dead bodies. We're talking about Tumas Ohel. That's nothing to do with anything. We're talking about Tumas Ohel standing over a corpse, or being in a room of a guy, with a guy, or being Mahil. But okay, so fine, that's nothing to do with anything, but I'm sure, says Ravina, that they killed them with the sword or whatever. They must have touched them or carried them. So Pasha says that's why they had to be mentire themselves. Okay. Eris is almana, v'nismana, lios kan gadol, yechnos. Fascinating Mishnah, not for this part, but I think for the second part, that if the kan gadol, again, he's not allowed to marry an almana, but Kohen is. But so let's say he was a regular Kohen, he did Kiddushin and Erisin with an almana, and then all of a sudden, hey, buddy, you're the kan gadol. So now he's not allowed to marry her, technically. So the Mishnah says actually yechnos, he is allowed to stay married to her. The story sure enough that this happened, that Yehoshua ben Gamla was a regular Kohen, he was engaged to Marta, and Mino HaMelech, that was Kohen Gadol, the Knossa. And apparently, right, the king appointed him to be the Kohen Gadol, and then he stayed married there. The Gemara is going to point out a fascinating story over there, but we'll get to it, and then we'll point out why this mission is interesting. Shomer's Yavam Shenafla from the Kohen Hedyo. Similarly, right, again, if you have a Yavam, is regular Kohen is ready, you know, his brother passed away, he's going to do Yibum on, let's say, perhaps, on his wife. Then all of a sudden it becomes Kohen Gadol. He's not allowed, obviously, to marry an almana. Right? So that's, even though regular Kohen is, so Alpha Pish Asubah Maimer, Hare is a Lo Yechnos. In that case, even if he did Maimer, he's not allowed to continue marrying the Yavama, and then we'll have to obviously explain why that is. Tanur Rabbanan Lander Rabbi said, "Menayin she'im eres esal mana v'nis mana leis kan gadol sheyichnos." Right. So how do you know that you know this is true? That if they got engaged and then they became kan gadol and they can marry her, Tamalomar yikach isha. The pasuk says he's allowed. Right. He's allowed to take for his wife. Right. Where is that pasuk over there? Where is it? Don't see it. Ah, there it is, okay. Right, that's a pasuk we've been quoting before, right? Right, the pasuk says he has to marry a bisula, and the pasuk says yikach isha, right, he's allowed to take as a wife, meaning we know that. Ki in bisula yikach. I should have just said he has to take a woman who's a bisula. What do you mean, yikach isha? So that means to imply that there's a scenario where he theoretically can marry someone he may not necessarily be able to marry. What's the difference between that and the case at the end of the Mishnah, where the Kohen is about to do Yibum with an Almana, it becomes Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a widow, so he's not allowed to keep her. So the Gemara says, yeah, Isha of Yavama, right? But Joshua only says Isha, right? He's only allowed if it was his wife and not someone else's wife. Okay, fine. Ma'aseh b'Yehoshua, right? B'Yehoshua ben Gamla, fascinating, right? In the Mishnah, Mino im Nismane lo, right? The implication is that if the king made him Kohen Gadol, but he was not appointed by his fellow Chevre, right? The Kohanim, etc. So Amar Yosef, Katir Chazina Hacha. Seems like there's a scam going on, right? It sounds like there was a scam. Amar Avasi, Tarkava Dinari Ala La Mata Rabbas Paitas Liyanei Malka. That Marta actually paid Yanai HaMelech, who was not a good accuser of Russia. Right? Marta apparently paid off the king, and made Yehoshua ben Gamla Kohen Gadol. So his wife got him the appointment. And he bribed the king, and that was how he became appointed. And even in that scenario, he was allowed to stay married to him. Now, the reason this mission is fascinating is because the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Chaf Aleph, Gemara Basra Daf Kaf Aleph says that had it not been for Yeshua ben Gamla, this guy, the Torah would have been forgotten. Why? Because up until that point in history, father knew Torah, he taught his son Torah. If father did not know Torah, he did not teach his son Torah. Well, guess what? The fathers of the Jews were not becoming, right, were not such Talmidei Chachamim. At that point in time, a lot of the fathers were Amoratim, and the Torah was going to be lost. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla instituted the concept of schools. That from 6 and 7 years old, right, all throughout the country, they set up schools, and kids would go to school and learn the Torah. Now, this seems to imply that this was not a great guy. Not a great dude, right? That obviously seems like he was a tremendous tzaddik. This seems to imply that he had to bribe his way to become Kohen Gadol. So how do you reconcile this Gemara and that Gemara? So there are many ways to understand. Right? There's, it could be that he wasn't a Rasha, but he wasn't the best, right? That doesn't necessarily qualify him to be Kohen Gadol. If I'm not mistaken, there's one of the Rishonim who says that he was a Rasha, and then he was influenced by his, power of his position, and he was chozer b'tshuva, and then he did this great stuff. Okay, there's a lot of lessons, but that is a definitely fascinating insight. Okay, Kohen Gadol shemeis achiv chalitz v'lo miyabim. Right, Kohen Gadol is not allowed to do yibum; he has to do chalitza. Right, obviously she's an almana; she's not allowed to marry him; she's a widow. Kapazik v'tani lo shna menei yisim v'lo shna menei yisuin. So the Mishnah, right, again, just said straight away, and the Gemara immediately picks up on that, seems to imply that there's no difference between whether they were fully married, I mean the brother was fully married to this woman, or whether they just had the first stage of marriage, erisin or kiddushin. So the Gemara says, Bishlam nisuin ase velosa ase indocha ase velosa ase v'ase. I understand why he can't marry his brother's wife if they were fully married, because that means that they must have had bia, so therefore she was an almana and a ba'ula, so therefore it's an ase and a los ase for him not to marry this woman. He has a mitzvah ase to marry a basula, a virgin, and she's not, and he also has a los ase to marry an almana. He's not allowed to marry an almana, and therefore an ase, the mitzvah ase of yibum, does not get rid of those two, right, the ase and a los ase of not marrying this woman. Element of erisin, but if she had not had bia with him, if she had only been engaged to him in the first stage of marriage, so yavo ase v'yishchi los ase, why doesn't the mitzvah ase of yibum be docha the iser los ase of marrying an almana? So the Gemara says, Gzera bia rishona alto bia shnia, because we're concerned, as a dinder abanan, we're actually concerned in economy that the first bia would be mutter, but the second bia would not be. Right? The mitzvah yibum is the first bia. The second bia, right, as we had before, if you remember earlier in Tosos, where we discussed the stages of bia, could be that even the later stage of bia, not even the first bia, but maybe even the sof bia. Maybe here we're talking about tchilas bia versus the sof bia. Okay, whatever. Anyway, but meaning, let's just say pashtas, the first bia, right, is mutter, that's a mitzvah yibum. Yeah, but the second one is not. And therefore, you don't have that, and you have an isser of ka'omana, right, and then the Kohen Gadol is right stuck in this marriage. He's not allowed to continue with that, so we don't allow him to get married in the first place. Kohen Gadol Yusa Islandis. Kohen Hedyo Lo Yusa Islandis. A regular Kohen is not allowed to marry an Islandis. An Islandis is a woman who's just not mature. She cannot have kids. Elam Ken Yeshlo Isha Avanim, unless he has another wife and other children. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, not Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ava Bisha Yeshua Isha Ubanim, right, Loisa Island, Shehi Zona Hamura Batara. He's not allowed to marry this woman, even if he has other children, because an island is considered to be a zona. And obviously, we're going to have to define what creates a zona. Again, zona is not an insult, as we pointed out. It's just one of the four women he's not allowed to marry. Almana, Ugusha, Vachalala, Zona. Those are four different types of women. It's Eilo Loikach. And he's not allowed to marry, so that it's a zona. So the Chacham say, no, she's not a zona. Ain zona el giyores or shchureres v'shenivala bila znutz. There has to be some sort of inappropriate bia here to make the woman a zona. The fact that she's unable to conceive, right, does not necessarily make it her into a zona. Right? Who says? Maybe she's from. Maybe she's hasn't had any inappropriate situation. She's just Rachman al Tzlan, can't have kids. Okay. I'm the Reish Galush, the Ravuna. Pash is the first halacha. First halacha in the Mishnah. The Kohen can't marry an islandess. Bishim peri v'rivia, right? Because right, he's not going to be able to have children. So aperi v'rivia, kohanim who demakpidi, demapkidi, demi. How do you pronounce that? Demifkidi. Okay. Meaning, what, I don't understand. If the reason the Kohen can't marry an islandess is because she can't have kids, so what do you mean? Peruvu is only mitzvah on kohanim. V'israel lo mapkidi. Israel doesn't have this problem. So why is it only specific to Kohanim? So it applies to both of them. But because the second part of the Mishnah wanted to talk about Kohanim, therefore we're going to line up the language, right? What did the second part of the Mishnah say? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, right? Av v'sheish lo isha, right? Oh, v'sheish lo banim lo yizaylenis v'sheish zon amur v'torah. Right? That again, Rabbi Yehuda says that a Kohen can't marry this woman regardless of whether he has a wife or kids, because that's considered to be a zona, and that's a halacha that shaykh to Kohanim and not Yisraelim. That's the azona Kohanim who the mifkidi. Therefore, we're going to use the language of a Kohen because that's what Rabbi Yehuda wanted to talk about. Amarav Huna. Rav Huna says, "My time, the Rabbi Yehuda. What's his logic? Why can't he? Why is his island as a zona? Meaning, what creates a halachic zona? Because the pasuk says, 'Achlu v'lo yisbo, hisnu v'lo yifrotzu.' It's talking about Bnei Yisrael. They're gonna sin, and they're gonna be a hisnu v'lo yifrotzu. Right? What's the definition of hisnu of znos? Right? Something that will not create children. Right? Kol biyashe ein kol ein ba pirza ella." No, kol biyashe ein ba pirza ena ella be lessness. Right? Anything that's only bia, meaning that the bia cannot lead to a child, right? That is a bilas nus, and that's going to create the status of a zona. Now, obviously, we have to talk about that if that's accepted la halacha, right? Obviously, so what about marrying a woman who's old? Right? What about marrying a woman who's unable to have kids and younger? Maybe she's not an islandess. Okay, right? That's already, right? Different halachas, halacha l'maisa. Tanya will learn the Rabbi Elazar Omer, Kohen lo yisus a katana. No, the Kohen's not allowed to marry a katana. And if you remember, if you compile that with the Israel of Bogeres, right, there's a very short, narrow window of time that a Kohen's allowed to get married. Okay, obviously we're not holding like that today. Nowadays, certainly nowadays, no katanim are getting married. Either way, Amalei Rav Chista the Rabba is puk ayin bo. So check it out. Rav Chista said to Rabba, go figure out what's this sheet of Rabbi Elazar that says that he's not allowed to marry a katana. Because tomorrow you're getting a test. Right? Rav Huna is going to ask you the kasha and ask you what the deal is. So nafak ayin ba, Rabbi Elazar savar lo karbi meir. V'savar lo karbi Yehuda. He went out and checked it out and he figured out, guess what? Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and he's combining two different shitas. Savar lo karbi Meir, the chayish lamiuta. He holds the Rabbi Meir who's concerned for a mute, meaning that a small amount, we're going to see in a second, that if there's a small concern, that let's say the woman, the katana in this case, will not mature into a woman who's able to have kids, so we're concerned for that. Maybe the girl won't be an islandess, and therefore when he's marrying this girl, even though 99% of women are normal, let's say, for example, I don't know, it could be that she'll be an islandess, so therefore he can't marry her, right? And all the bias then will be bias and those, etc. So he can't marry her. And he also holds like Rabbi Yehuda from our Mishnah that an islandess is a zona. Okay. Gemara says he's going to attack both of these assumptions. Gemara says, first of all, Rabbi Meir Savarla, me Savarla. Rabbi Elazar really holds like Rabbi Meir. You can't have chalitza or yibum with a katan or a katana. They said to him, you can't do chalitza because ish katsu v'parsha, umakshinan ish al ish. The pasuk says ish by chalitza, and then men and women are right, the same status over there. But why can't we say that a katan can't do yibum? Meaning Yibam doesn't require das, right? Again, a katan doesn't have halachic das, but Yibam doesn't require das. So Amar Lahem, he said back to them, katan shemi yitzimatzi saris, and katana shemi yitzimatzi islandess. We're concerned. This is Rabbi Meir Shita, right? As we said before, that we're concerned for a minority of cases by minors, yeah, that maybe they'll end up not being able to have children. A boy will be a saris, a girl will be an islandess. Vinimzu pogim be'erva. In that case, right? If there's no potential for children, so then you can end up with an Isra Meshesach. So Vitanya will under said Katanamiya Mr. Bemis Fainakulazas to Rabbi Elazar. We see the Rabbi Elazar holds that a katana can do Yibum. So that's against Rabbi Meir. So Ukudabi Huda mi Sabala, and he also doesn't hold like Rabbi Huda, because Vitanya Zona Kishma. And a zona the Rabbi Elazar. That a zona is Mamash Zona. That's Rabbi Elazar Shita. That a zona is someone who has an inappropriate relationship, not a woman who's unable to have children. Now we're going to have a bunch of opinions over here, but that's, as you'll see in a second, he's going to disagree with Rabbi Meir. No, that's it. I'm sorry. We're not going to quote him. That's That's Rabbi Elazar's shita. That's against Rabbi Meir. That zona is a zona, right? Not that someone who just is unable to have children. So he sees that Rabbi Elazar disagrees with Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. How can you tell me that that's what his shita is based on? So anyway, we're going to quote him all these shitas here as to what a zona is. Rabbi Kiva Omer zona zum of keres. Someone who has the status of being just mafker herself. She's sleeps around and to anybody who's interested. Rabbi Masya ben Charash. Omer afilu halach b'ayla l'ashkosa u'malea b'derech asa zona. Even if we mentioned before that if a husband takes his wife to go give her the waters of the sota, right? So he's not allowed to be with her on before that happens, right? He's already usher to her. So if he does sleep with her, so he's created her a zona, right? Again, it's not even really an inappropriate via. It's kind of inappropriate, but it's not like there's no iser here. It's a din d'rabbanan, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember. Okay, but it's definitely not. Maybe an Isra Lav. I don't know. I don't remember. But either way, we're not talking about Kares or whatever. That's going to create a zona. Rabbi Yehuda Omer zona is an islandess. Again, we have that's our shita, right? That a zona is an islandess, woman who can't have kids. Chachamim Omerim ain't zona elik yores meshuchres and nevelas bilas nus. That we also had in the Mishnah that they're talking about. That's going to make. Any type of woman, right, who previously had bia all over the place, or a shifcharufa, etc., who had an inappropriate bia, and Rabbi Elazar, Omer Rabbi Elazar says, "Pani habala pniya shlo l'shem ishus as a zona." That just two random people, right, people who are unmarried, just to enjoy themselves, right, that without any type of marriage situation, that is going to create a zona. But we see that Rabbi Elazar disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. So Allah Amar Vada Bar Ava Ha'cha B'kan Gadol Eskin. The case here is when we says that a Kohen can't marry a Ketana, it's actually a Kohen Gadol. And La'imas Kandila L'chid Gadla B'ulahi. Because what's going to happen, right, when he marries a Ketana, right, he really only marries her, right, when she gets older, right, then only then are they halakhically married, and at that point she's going to be a ba'ula, and Kohen Gadol has to marry a basula, and that's going to be a problem. Rava Amar Michle Leif, right, what are you talking about? You're destroying hearts over here, that doesn't make sense. In the kitchen Avua, he shaitu the kanila. In the kitchen Nafsha, her belezer he vila rabbanan. Rabbi says, one second. Why are they not halakhically married, right, from the time when they were ketana? Right? If her father married her off, right, and that's a thing, right, that's already, we talk about that all over the Seder Nashim, father married off the daughter, so that's fine, that's allowed. And if she married herself off, well, everybody agree. Meaning that it wouldn't be only Rabbi, if she married herself off, which is nothing, right, so even the Chazon would agree that Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry her. Really, we're back to a Kohen Hedyot. We're concerned that maybe she will be seduced while she's married to him. And in the sense that a girl who's young or doesn't have das, right, can be swayed easily, we're concerned that she'll be seduced. What's the difference between a Jew, a regular Jew, and a Kohen, right? So if that's a concern, so why should we ever allow Ketanim or Ketanos to get married if we're concerned that they'll cheat on their husbands? So it says, because Pitu Ketanos Onesu, be Yisrael Mishashari, because there's halachically something called statutory rape. It could be that the Hagdara, the ages are different, but certainly a Ketana, according to the according to halachic law, if for whatever reason a man is able to seduce a ketana, so that's considered to be onus. That's considered to be rape. She doesn't have proper das. And what's the halacha by a rape? Right? By a case where a woman, Rahman al-Slan, is raped, so she's allowed to stay married to her husband, but not if he's a Kohen. So that's why the difference is, right? We're talking about a ketana. We're concerned that she may end up cheating on him, being seduced. That has the halachic status of rape, and then that's why it's only relevant for a Kohen and not a Yisrael. Rav Papa says, no, but Kohen Gadol, we're back to a Kohen Gadol. That's what Rabbi Elazar said. But Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a Ketana. V'hai Tanahu, and it's like this sheet that the Tanya is willing to write, Basula, that the Kohen Gadol has to marry Basula. Yachal Ketana, you might have thought he can marry a Ketana. Tamalomar Isha, that he has to marry a woman, right? Not a Ketana. Isha, right? If it was said only Isha, so Yachal Bogeres, you might have thought she's allowed to marry a Bogeres. Again, the three statuses, the three stages, is a Ketana, the 12 years old and has Simonim for 6 months, she becomes a Nara, Pasha Pshat, and then the Zabogeres. So Tamalomer Basula, so therefore the Pasuk says Basulam. So okay, so how does that work? Right, yes, Klobagers Lobasa. Meaning he has to marry a Nara, which is in between a Ktana and a Bogeres. It's actually this Shita. The Tanya's Lender. Right, so Basula, right, the Pasuk says Kongad has to marry Basula, in Basula El Nara. That means a Nara. Right, forget all your back and forth in terms of Isha Basula. No, Basula means a Nara. Right, that's talking about Rivka. Right, when Rabbi Elazar saw Rivka, right, that means that she was an Ara. Is it Sosfos over here who mentions it? Right, meaning that it's obviously the implication from this Gemara. Yeah, Tosfos, the Chenu Omer. Tosfos, the Chenu Omer. The implication here is that Rivka was Anara. Anara, I just mentioned, is 12 years old, 12 and 12 and a half. Right, we know, we're familiar with Rashi and the Chumash, who quotes that Rivka was 3 years old. So how do you work with that? So it must be, right? So over here, it must be that you have conflicting midrashim in terms of how old, right, Rivka was when she married Yitzchak. Okay, fine. Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Elazar says, Panei abala, pnei yishol l'shem isho, so sa zona. Again, that was Rabbi Elazar's shita in the Braisa. So Rav Amar, mein alach Rabbi Elazar, the alacha, in fact, is not like Rabbi Elazar, right? In Yechanami, right? Usually, alach yachid v'rabim, alach k'rabim. Right, but again, okay, fine. Well, the Gemara wants to reemphasize that. I'm not sure exactly why. I would imagine some people talk about it, but okay, fine. Vayter. No, not Vayter. We'll stop at the Mishnah. Let's stop at the Mishnah, and we'll go right through tomorrow's daf is Geshmak, right? The Mishnah they hear about in terms of how many kids you need to have for Puravu, and other such. So there's such things, but today's daf is also Geshmak. Have a great day or night, depending on when you're listening to this.